Welcome everyone to the Online Course Creation Summit. I'm your host, Devin Slavin, and I'm excited to be bringing you this series of interviews and presentations from top online entrepreneurs and course creation experts from around the world. And they're here to share their expertise and guidance on how to design, build, and launch your own world-changing online course. Today, I have special guest, Micah Mitchell, from Memberium, and he's actually the co-founder of Memberium, which is an app that allows people to protect their content, to build online courses, membership sites, build community, do a bunch of cool things with trainings, and much more. And so Memberium links with Infusionsoft, which we'll talk a little bit more about, and it allows you to protect all those things. Now, Micah, his goal is to help Infusionsoft users bill over $1 billion through their Infusionsoft applications. And over the past 10 years, Micah has consulted with hundreds of business owners like yourself and some of the top Infusionsoft marketers on how to improve the way their business uses Infusionsoft. So Micah, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me, Devin. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm stoked to have you here because I know you have a lot of expertise in online business and have been helping, like your intro says here, you know, helping hundreds and thousands of people with their businesses. And I know you have a lot of great knowledge and to share with us. So love to get started with this interview by just sharing about how did you get into the place that you're at with Memberium. And yeah, just tell us your story because I think that's really helpful for us all to hear, like what it is that got you to where you are today.
Well, so I'll give you the brief, maybe embarrassing version of it. So I dropped out of high school because I was working for a guy doing sales. He was a credit card processor. And they started taking on businesses similar to some of their clients. So they'd see a company doing well. A lot of them were in the membership space, things like roadside assistance and that sort of stuff. And in that process, I kind of fell into doing IT. And so I started doing more IT, and as they grew, they needed to switch out CRMs and customer databases over and over. Yeah. And in that process, I had to move a lot of money and billing between a bunch of CRMs. So I kind of got into the CRM game, which led me to Infusionsoft, because after that, I went out on my own, was selling CRMs. And one day a client asked me, you know, he said, basically, yeah, I'll look at what you want to demo for me if you look at this other thing with me and tell me what the differences are. And the other thing was Infusionsoft. And so when I saw Infusionsoft, I was like, oh, yep, that thing's awesome. You should just buy that, you know, and I started looking at Infusionsoft myself. And this is the embarrassing part. Like I'm all over the place, especially when I was younger. I got sick of working in an office and decided I want to start a landscaping company. Mm-hmm. And so I first bought Infusionsoft for my lawn mowing and landscaping company. And not being a big planner at the time, then winter came around and it was like, oh, I can't do that anymore. So I kind of fell back on IT and started selling Infusionsoft to people. But the interesting thing about it is it was years and years ago where there weren't a lot of IT professionals who were familiar with Infusionsoft. And so where I said, hey, I can do websites and all the CRM stuff, I was really one of the only people. And so I started just getting a lot of business coming my way from it. And at one point I read Michael Gerber book most people haven't heard about. It's called Awakening the Entrepreneur Within. Oh, nice. Most people have heard of the E-Myth, but that one is like, if you know Michael Gerber, it's like one big long rant, right? He's just like yelling at you basically in book form about, you know, changing your thinking. And so after I read that book, it was probably 9 or 10 years ago, I just decided, okay, everything I do is going to be Infusionsoft focused, because one of the things he talked about was not starting a business just to be in business and make money a different way, but to do something or serve a market. So I decided to serve the Infusionsoft market. And that's where that goal of helping them bill $1 billion came from. Trying to be in a place where it's not just like, oh, serve 1,000 customers, but to say, okay, create extra revenue for people and get somewhere, you know? So it's kind of a big goal and all of that. And I don't know where I'm at, you know, on it really, because not all customers come back and say, hey, I made all this, but we're working our way there. And nice. About halfway in between there, I started making membership site software for Infusionsoft users, starting with connections to Joomla and so forth. And that eventually became WordPress membership site software for Infusionsoft. So that's how I kind of ended up in a little niche, a couple accidents in a row almost. But I just love it and I'm totally committed to it. used to be more focused on Infusion and offer a broad range of services, and now it's just membership sites for Infusionsoft users.
That's cool. And so, yeah, you saw, it's this, that journey where it's like life's took you to the next step, and you couldn't really see, didn't really probably see yourself, co-founding Membrium at this point, and, you know, helping hundreds and thousands of entrepreneurs get, you know, their website, their membership sites set up. But that's really cool. And yeah, what was it about the opportunity that brought you to creating an actual app that everyone could use versus like doing working with people one-on-one on that? It sounded like you were doing more like personalized stuff, and then you went to the app space. Is that true?
Yeah. And it's, again, I don't plan very much, right? It was kind of accidental where I had built a customs integration for somebody, and then a couple months later, somebody else asked. And so I tweaked it for them. And, you know, a couple months later, somebody else asked. And that's when I was like, oh, I should package this somehow. And my first attempts were really rudimentary, right? I didn't know how to license software. I didn't know any of that. And so I was just like handing out the source code and that sort of thing. But yeah, I was just getting the same request over and over. Finally, I got into software, and it didn't take too long to realize that's better than offering customized services all day long.
Yeah, totally. Totally. There you go. So it's scalable. Just like I think a lot of the people here that are creating online courses or out to create their own course, they're looking for ways to scale. So I think there's that exact, that really like correlation between us all here today. And I'd love to, you know, one of the things like we mentioned already is that you can do so many things with membership site, when with Membrium, creating courses, protecting content, doing trainings, building community, and much more than that. And I'm curious, you know, first just to dive into, you know, this, the kind of the payment aspect of it, and what are, you know, the benefits of actually having a subscription-based revenue model for your online content?
Yeah, so subscription revenue in general is just super, super powerful. And I did put together a couple little slides. If it's okay, I'll run through a couple of them real fast.
Totally.
Great. And it starts out with this fun, you know, fear slide here. But I'll explain. Okay. So basically, this about what you should be afraid of. And this is something that came up in a mastermind group that I'm part of, a high-end mastermind group, where one of the guys has a national business. And he was asking what could disrupt him, similar to how, you know, Uber came in and disrupted the taxi industry. One taxi company competing against another taxi company didn't really matter when that change came from the outside, you know, mainly via technology. And so what we're really talking about is what trends, right? And so there's, you know, a business methodology where you do a SWOT analysis, and it's the SW, strengths and weaknesses, which are kind of internal about your company. The OT is opportunities and threats, which are external. But it's a little bit limited. And so what you can do is an SWT, and the T then stands for trends. So it's strengths, weaknesses, and trends, because that's universal. It's outside just your business. And those trends, they can and they might take your business unless you're aware of them. So I just want to talk about one that ties into your question here, and that's the access trend. So we're in kind of the subscription economy or the access generation. This is where people don't want to buy or own. They don't want to be tied down by their stuff, but they do want access to it. And it's kind of rent versus buy. And there's a bunch of examples, Netflix for video, Spotify for music, Zipcar for cars. And I'll just run through a couple of them real briefly. But, you know, I have a sister who bought all these VHS tapes. This was, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. She had like every Disney movie and all the 80s movies and all this, shelves and shelves of them, which eventually had to go to DVD. And then we all know where they ended up, right? They're pretty much online. And Netflix pretty much killed Blockbuster and everybody else in that industry too. And they didn't start making their own content or movies until later. They just got started on pretty much providing a membership site full of videos and shows. And it was mostly undervalued intellectual property. But now they have access to crazy information. So, you know, they have a subscription model going in an access model. Another good example is Amazon Prime. And what's interesting about them is they have over $1 billion a year in subscriptions for Prime, but it's not as important as the fact that their Prime members actually spend more with them. And that's because they, you know, they spend whatever it is, $100 a month to be Prime. And then it changes their psychology when they go to buy anything. It's, I'm going to check this on Amazon first, right? I'm going to get one, I'm going to get my money's worth out of that $100. So it's almost like they feel pressured to buy from there. And then two, you know, they've got that brand loyalty and all of that. Another example of a good subscription business, and not all these are membership sites, but I'll come back to it in a second, is Massage Envy. And even though it's trading time for dollars, what they've done is they've figured out a way to bill members for consistent massages. And, you know, it's kind of funny. When I went and signed up, it wasn't how many massages do you want, or, you know, how long a massage or whatever. It was actually how often do you want a massage? Do you want it monthly, every other week, every week? And so they're trying to get consistency in billing. And, you know, members get discounts on their massage and other services by being a member. So there's additional perks. But there's something else for Massage Envy that we'll get into in just one second. I'll show you just a couple more examples. WhatsApp is kind of interesting because even at $1 a year, so it doesn't have to be that much, they built a really big company. In fact, they had 450 million users. So you think, okay, that's substantial. And at the time they were acquired, they were getting about 1 million new users per day added to it. And they sold to Facebook for about $19 billion. So, you know, very small amount of subscription revenue. You guys probably know this guy, the Dollar Shave Club guy, right? Yeah. And they're selling consumables as continuity, right? Razor blades, something super boring. And they're not funny. These guys are hilarious if you watch any of their videos. Funny example of how this leads into other stuff. Now they're trying to take over the bathroom. So they started with razor blades and they're trying to then get into all the bathroom products, one of which is One Wipe Charlie's, and I'll let you guys guess about that. But Costco is a good example of this, where they position as wholesale, and kind of the thinking is if it's good enough for restaurants or good enough for people buying wholesale or bulk items, then it's good enough for people. So they're kind of aiming and positioning at power users of their service or product, but they're naturally attracting other people who just think, oh, well, if it's good enough for them, it's awesome for me. And again, their members are going to spend more. They'll wait to buy stuff. If even when I live 45 minutes from a Costco, if we ran out of something that I buy at Costco, I'm going to wait or make a special trip, which sounds crazy, but it's how it is. So here's a membership site example, dancestudioowner.com. And they were successful at their local business, which I think a lot of people who go to create courses and membership sites and stuff are typically successful at, you know, a business or a service of some kind. And in this case, they didn't want to branch out and have dance studios all over the country. But since there were other dance studios who weren't located next to them, you know, geographically competitive, they could sell their business processes and methodologies and stuff like that. But as a membership site, since they had access to dance studio owners, they ended up selling to a dancewear company. So they were able to sell that business to a dancewear company who wanted access again to those owners. So this whole membership site thing, it's a great model, and it's a gateway to new customers. And the reason why is, and what I'm talking about is versus just a one-time fee or a big payment or whatever, you can offer the front end for less, meaning you can get more customers, just kind of a mass of customers, and then they'll buy your back end products because of the goodwill you create on the front end. So, nice. You know, Dollar Shave Club and some of these other examples, they sell something small and cheap and it's easy to get started, but over time, they're going to sell so many of those things and probably other products as well that the customer lifetime value there is really high. And the back end does not necessarily have to be cheap. The front end can be cheap. You build that goodwill. Back-end products can be regular price. They can be full profit. And the idea is that your number of orders is going to go down as your price goes up. So it doesn't have to be cheaper, but it is kind of cash versus keep. If you collect too much cash now or, you know, more than necessary, then you may not keep that customer for as long. Hmm. And the idea behind all of it is, you know, get a mass of customers, build a dominant market position. And, you know, kind of the final really kind of put a point on it for subscription revenue is a really dumb question that I have for you guys, which is, which would you rather have? It's 75 cents or $8, right? And like I said, it's a dumb question. I apologize, but it's talking about the value of a subscription business versus a one-time business. So one-time business is only worth about 75 cents on the dollar. If you go to sell it and you did $1 million in revenue the previous year, you can probably only sell it for $750,000 typically, because they're trying to bet on, you know, being able to recreate that revenue. It's not in the bank. With subscription businesses, there's a term called MRR, which is monthly recurring revenue. And with that type of business, you can get between 24 and 96 times the MRR, depending on size insurance. So that's between 2 and 8 times the amount of your monthly recurring revenue, just based on, you know, how old the business is, how long the customers stay in the churn and all of that. So it's a big deal. And, even if you're not selling your business, it's no problem. This is something people miss all the time as well. The consistency there, you know, so it says, my name is consistency. I'm related to success and we should hang out more than every once in a while. And that consistency leads to efficiency. So even if it's a service or a product-based business, you can schedule out your team knowing the work coming up versus them just being bored, complaining, worrying about whether there's going to be enough work or too much work. And you're paying for that, right? And also purchasing resources is a big deal because it's waste not, want not. There's an example of a flower company. They're going to waste about half their inventory because it just goes bad on the shelves versus a flower company who, let's say, sells to businesses or hotels where they have a contract to renew those flowers every week or two, keep them fresh, and maybe to consumers do a bouquet of the month thing or, you know, birthdays, anniversaries and stuff. So the subscription revenue thing is really, really healthy for the business, whether you're selling it or not. It's healthy to control a market versus just trying to sell a high-end product. And I think, you know, most people do want more subscription revenue, right? And I have one more chintzy image that I just have to show because it's this one, right? we can get on to the membership site stuff, but this I think is funny because it's like the guy working on his laptop at the beach, right? All the scam things that people sell. But I only bring it up because it's like, it's with a subscription business, it's more true because, you know, for me, for example, I use Infusionsoft and all my subscriptions bill in the middle of the night while I'm asleep. So they bill at like 1 or 2 in the morning is when the system turns on and bills the people who are due that day. And it really is, you wake up and it's like, oh, I have more money than I did yesterday because I have subscriptions. So I hope that doesn't go too far out on the tangent there, but that's, you know, it ties into membership sites, but just the subject of subscriptions themselves, this is the way the world is going. And the sooner people can get in there, the more longevity they're going to give to their business and, you know, lower their blood pressure, all sorts of good stuff.
Wow. That is so cool, Micah. Yeah. We're talking about creating courses a lot, you know, at the Online Course Creation Summit, but what's really key is the business model behind the course. Right. And I totally agree. Like you could have a course that's like you launch once a year and all that money is going to come in at once. And then it's like, you really have to just budget that the rest of the year. Hopefully you got enough if you're only doing it once a year. I mean, this is just an example, but you know, having that recurring revenue, you know, is going to help it rather than have it come out once, just like have it come in every month or week or however many times you're billing. So totally, I love that idea. And that was just one sliver of what you shared with us, really being the, you know, that people are more interested in renting services and, you know, not rather than buying something and just owning it, having it outright, like just having a subscription to stay up at the edge of the game, things like that. So that's really cool. And I think it brings a lot of, you know, this kind of way of looking at it differently gives a lot of new opportunities for people who are creating courses because, you know, there's, you know, now you can actually think, oh, I could have, I could still have individual courses, but I can have this, a membership to other trainings that I get to do. I'm trying to think I just interviewed somebody, who was just sharing that they actually they love having a membership site and then they have a flagship course as well. And those two things interact together. So you can just like, it gives all these opportunities for us to do new things. So I think that's really cool. I like that, the new way of thinking about it. And yeah, let's dive in a bit more to that. Yeah, what do you have next for us here?
So I have an extremely biased statement, basically. at least it would be if it weren't true. And it's tying in back to the membership site thing. And I think everyone already is open to this, but it's that every business needs a membership site. And that's a fact. Every single business needs a membership site, not just those interested in creating courses. And the reason I say that is because you can provide information of different kinds. So you can do lead magnets, which is like a free thing, info or access to resources. You can also do internal training for your team. This is another use of membership sites that's, I think, too often overlooked because, you know, especially in sales and customer service as two good examples, usually you have more people on those teams and usually there's turnover on those teams where you're going to, over the years, do the same training over and over. And that leaves a lot of room for inconsistency. Maybe things are forgotten. Maybe the person doing the training is having a bad day or whatever. So putting that into a membership site can be huge, and especially putting it into a site so that people can, you know, yes, it's saving you time from having to train people, but it builds that consistency into your team as well, so that it's the same training every time. And I'll get into a little bit later how it can be part of the hiring process as well. But membership sites can also be supplemental training for your clients. So one example is a MetaSpy. I had a client who had 6 locations, and what he really had is a good opportunity to make money, but also a big opportunity for risk. Because if somebody, let's say they go in for laser hair removal, and for example, they go tanning too soon before or after that procedure, it can result in burns, some of which can be semi-permanent. And so they, you know, they'd come in and the client would talk to the doctor and they would sign the waiver and all these other things. But in court, ultimately, that doesn't hold up as well, because the client can still say, well, I didn't understand, or, you know, whatever. You just, like, you read that giant document and you sign it. You don't read every word. And using a membership site, they were able to, one, provide pre and post procedure training, but also limit their liability, because in their membership site, they had a quiz where the person had to watch the videos and pass the quiz. And then they could show the judge, like, no, on this day, they watched this video. It was 11 minutes long. They answered these questions. They got 100%. They definitely understood this, right?
Right.
And signed the waiver and talked to the doctor. And so it builds their case to support them, and obviously adds value to the client experience as well. But there's a lot of dimensions on these things. And of course, regular old membership sites or courses, which most people think about when providing information. But a membership site, you know, to your end users can be a lot more than that. You can have community as part of the membership site. So providing a sense of interaction and belonging and networking to people. And in some communities or some membership sites, that's a bigger draw than the content, you know, if they do it right. Access to other discounts or products. And, you know, what a lot of people don't understand, and I'll get into more later, is I've been doing this for a long time, and I've seen a lot of people come in and think, well, I'm just going to do a membership site, or I'm going to switch to a membership site from my current thing. But it really works better in combination with other stuff. So we'll get more into that. But a couple other things you can add to your membership site. So a lot of people, when they're doing an ongoing membership, you know, you might have a finite amount of course material. And so there's a little bit of a trap in saying, okay, we're going to bill people monthly. Because if you have 12 months of material, come month 13, 14, 15, you've got to come up with something, right? And so it used to be people would do a lot of webinars. They'd say, oh, membership includes a monthly webinar. More and more people are moving that to an office hours format, where instead of, you know, the business being on the line to create content every month or week or however often, they just say, hey, we're going to open our doors to Q&A. It's called office hours, right? You can come in Wednesday from 2 to 4, whatever, we'll answer your questions. And it provides, you know, a level of value to the client, but for the company, it also frames the way they want to interact with the client. It means the client doesn't have unlimited access. And obviously some people buy a membership course and they go through it on their own and they're great, a great client. Some people buy it and they expect personal interaction from the owner. And so this gives them an opportunity for that. And there's a couple other ways to do that that I think are really cool. Critique certificates are where with your membership, you can include a, you know, critique certificate or two, let's say, where there's stipulations. It's, hey, you need to go through modules 1, 2, and 3 and complete that work, you know, do that project, whatever it is they're teaching you to do, go do it. And then you can hand in this critique certificate and I'll spend 25 minutes or whatever critiquing the work you've done. And so it drives them to complete what you're training them on anyways, which is a good thing. It gives an opportunity for feedback, and it again frames how they can get a hold of you or earn a little bit of your time and attention. 911 calls is similar, but this is where you say, maybe, look, you get one 911 call a year as a member. And that means that you can have a 30-minute phone call with me or with the owner, however you want to put it, that you trade in when you have a really big opportunity or a really big problem that, you know, you just know they could solve rather easily. So there's a huge amount of value there. But you're, you know, then you can do the math and say, okay, if I'm providing a critique here and a 911 call there, a little extra time, you know, that adds a lot of value to the course, and you can build that into the price. And all of that is great. But back to the idea of trends, I'll talk only briefly about this because I know you've got another great speaker on here, Mike Weiss, who will go deeper. But I just want to talk about what's replacing these old-fashioned membership sites. And we'll add a couple more dimensions to them, but it's kind of like, what's the new thing in membership sites? And Mike, like I said, he'll really blow your mind on it. but it's e-learning. You know, it's a concept of gamification. And a quick story about my son, we use something called Khan Academy. We homeschool our kids and we put them on Khan Academy to learn math. Most of what we do for homeschool, you know, like the math side is like, okay, I haven't been in this math for 12 years. I don't remember. I don't know. You know? And so we thought it was like a shortcut for us, like, oh, this thing's awesome. And it'll teach them stuff. And they definitely learned math. But what's really funny is he went on there and when he was 9, he learned Java programming. Oh. And when I asked him why he did it, he said it was to earn the badge. So gamification, you know, in this case, we're talking about kids, but he went in and learned programming and has now learned a couple other programming languages because he wanted to earn the badges and get the points and stuff. And they do a good job here because they're trying to pull kids through education, right? On their own, on their computer home. And so as you complete a video, it gives you points. As you pass a few videos, you get badges for all sorts of stuff, including just going fast. You know, they've got extra little perks and stuff, and it just makes you want to engage. It makes the kids want to engage. If you back up a little, that's kind of the view from further away, where the top section are some of the badges he's earned and the bottom section are some of the badges that are possible. And so he would go down and look at the possible badges, you know, and say, oh, I want this or I want that, and you'd go through and earn it. And what we're talking about here in a business sense is a term called ROE, which stands for return on education. And usually when you used to sell a course to somebody, they would probably buy it and not open it, or not go into it, or they'd open it and not get all the way through it. Maybe they'd even go through it but not implement it. Still, they're not getting the results, and maybe they implement it and get no results. But there's so many barriers to them getting a return on what they bought, right? This return on education. So a good example that probably a lot of people are aware of, you know, is Digital Marketer. They started selling certifications. There's badges and certificates, and they've gamified the whole system. So, you know, what works for the kids works just as well for the adults, right? And these certifications and badges and things, they're valuable because people can list them on their website. So you can differentiate from a competitor by having additional certifications. Consumers can list them on their resumes to get jobs. People can list them on their social media profiles. And the bottom line is, you as a course creator, if you turn that into a certification course or provide badges and things that go along with it, you can provide a ton more value because your client gets an actual return on their education for completing the course. They now have something almost like a degree. Obviously not as big as a degree, but in some cases, you know, if I'm a consultant and there's another consultant and on my site, I show that I'm certified in all these things Digital Marketer provides, I'm probably going to get picked over the other guy. Same thing right. For the employee. So your clients can really get a bigger, more immediate return on your training, and that's going to make for a happy client. And I'll briefly brush over, I'm going to shorten a lot of this, but to gamify what we're talking, there's having quizzes, and there used to be all this talk of, oh, when people go through videos, we want to track how much of the video they've consumed. And that was kind of there are places where it still makes sense, especially with marketing videos, but for the most part, in a membership site, you want to gauge consumption, successful consumption, by retention. You know, can they answer a short quiz or even just an answer? You can give points for instant gratification. Just watching a single video, they get some points. Badges, like I said, for the kid inside and for the professional. And certifications, which are powerful for the user, but also powerful in positioning your course. Because if you went online to buy a course for something and there were two courses that looked similar, had a similar curriculum, but one was a certification course and one wasn't, you know, one is going to seem more valid. And also you're going to think, well, if I'm going to take the course, I might as well get certified or have that. Not everyone cares about that. So you can make it optional. You don't call it, hey, you're buying a certification, but you're buying a certification training, where to actually certify is an optional step, or you can just go through the content. But again, a great business case, Digital Marketer, they had a lot of content, and I know a lot of other big internet marketers who had a lot of content, and it was almost like the membership game was in a valley. You know, it was up on a peak. It was one of the best games to be in. And then there's a valley there where they're like, oh, well, content's becoming commoditized. You can get whatever you want on YouTube and this kind of thing. And bringing it back into this e-learning or this gamification sphere made it valuable again. There's a lot of these big marketers who had a lot of valuable content. They used to sell it as, hey, give me $2,000. And you go in there and there's 400 videos. You don't know where to start. You don't know what to do. It's a lot of value, but that became, you know, I guess less valuable over time when now people want to get through it, get to the point and whatever. And so they just, by taking that old content and putting into this format, you can see here he's got content marketing specialist, conversion analytics specialist, customer acquisition specialist, and they frame it around, you know, individual activities that now have a way higher perceived value, especially, you know, if it's a prestigious company like Digital Marketer, these certifications really mean something on their site. And I'll skip over the technical side. Well, I'll show you a couple of screenshots. So here's one version where tennis client, and you know, this is a very minimalist approach where you can see the lessons on the side, and the ones they've done have check marks, and the ones they are doing are pencils, and they check the box to mark it complete. This is Optimized Press, where your video goes into, and they provide these templates. So it's kind of cool because it's like, oh, that looks professional, you know, lesson level, easy. Here's the bottom of that page with the progress bar on the right. And then here's my personal favorite, LearnDash. This is a view of the top of the page of three courses that are complete. If I zoom out a little, you can see that fourth course on the second line is partially complete. That blue thing is a progress bar. Mm-hmm. And if you go into the course itself, you can see, you know, your progress along, like, hey, you're this far through it, and there's the lessons with check marks. And to illustrate the point of these people with a lot of content, this is actually my site. What it used to look like is this. So it's like, hey, module one, here's a backed out view. Those are all the videos, right? And that used to be what providing value was, is I put more stuff. And what it's changed to is this, is, hey, it's in a really nice professional format. There's a quiz at the end, right? This is a quick screenshot of a quiz, and you complete it and it grades it, and you continue on and stuff like that. And I don't want to get too far ahead, but just to illustrate a little bit, like, membership sites can be a lot of things, and then they can be put on various dimensions when you look at certification and all of this. But yeah, sorry, does that?
Yeah.
I've got more to go into, but yeah, what questions or what do you think?
Yeah, this is really cool. I mean, this is perfect, exactly what I was, you know, wanting to bring to people, Micah. This is great because it's like, you know, there's so many ways to create courses. You get into the world now. You know, it used to be this very simple method, and it's kind of like just put your content up. And now the game is changing, and so we need to know. We need to know how to stay up with the leading edge of the market and create courses that not only people join but that they complete. So super cool to see what you're doing and how this relates back to membership sites. Yeah, and then I think, and like you said, yeah, certification is a really hot topic right now. You know, this, and I loved what you said about the value that it brings to having certification, and that, you know, you said it like in the framing it for people who are participants getting a certification. And then there's also that the business, you know, like if I'm offering a course with a certification, and someone else is offering a similar course, I, as a participant, would probably rather do the one that includes an option to certify in it, if it's related to my business, or like you said, kids really like it too. But so that's really cool. I don't think I have any specific questions beyond this, but I wanted to say that this is great. This is right on target. I'm learning stuff, and I'm sure our course creators out there are learning as well. So I'm going to give it back to you to take it away. I do hope that we, you know, get into some of the, like, well, actually you're covering it. You know, I was thinking like the do's and don'ts of creating a membership site, things like that. But I'll hand it back to you to take it to where we want to go next.
Cool. I'll get into some of the painful mistakes and do's and don'ts. We add a little bit to this real quick before going on.
Sure.
Some of what we're talking about there is trying to provide the best way to learn, because there's these business reasons for doing it, but, you know, also for the end user to be able to take that content in and have it land and stick. So with LearnDash as an example, you can put your courses in the right order, or your lessons in the right order, and force them to go through it in a linear format, which may not make sense for everything. So potentially for levels, like you could say, hey, beginners start here and go, you know, one by one, or advanced people start here and go one by one. But for some things, and some of the things I've even taught, it makes a lot of sense, because they have to know the basics in order to even understand the intermediate stuff, in order to understand the advanced stuff. And if you let them skip around and jump ahead, and that adds to their confusion overall, you're losing. So sometimes kind of limiting what they can do is good. And another example, on ensuring retention before continuing, if they go through a video and they can't pass the little quiz, I mean, either they weren't paying attention, they should watch it again, or you need to do a better job of the way you're presenting it. And so it adds a little accountability to that process as well, versus just kind of the spray and pray content production method. Last thing there, throttling speed can sometimes be really good. So in the case where I've shown you those screenshots of that tennis client, and he has multiple membership sites on these different platforms because I was helping him try to find the best fit. But one of the interesting things about his in particular is, since he's training tennis, he doesn't want people to just go in and consume all the content in a day and think that they're done, because they didn't really learn anything. They didn't get it into their muscle memory. And so what he does is, if you go through the lessons too fast, it'll actually pop up and slow you down and say, you know, hey, this isn't going to be available for another day. You need to go out and actually practice that backhand or forehand or whatever 100 times or 200 times to get it into muscle memory, or this course isn't going to help you. So there are cases where it actually doesn't do them any good to fly through it. I sometimes try to like binge watch content, but if it's something where they need to watch some and then go experience some and come back and forth, you can monitor that and kind of encourage that. So I think you guys are seeing how it can be pretty useful and how you can provide more value this way. Let's jump into some of the things you can do to feed the beast. So let's say you do create an awesome membership site and it's engaging and people can get through it and they really like it. You still got to feed the front end. And there's a couple features that we have with Manbarium, but I know some other platforms have as well. So even if you're not using Infusion, you can look into this. One is called Google First Click. And that's where your content, instead of being locked behind a vault, like let's say you have 100 membership resources, in some cases, people will lock that behind their membership portal and think, oh, I'm protecting my content. And that's kind of good, but you can also repurpose all that content for marketing. So Google First Click says, hey, if somebody Googles and they find one of your membership pages, let them have that first click for free. Let them click to it, actually view and consume the content. And then if they try to click to anything else, then it, you know, locks down and basically says you need to join or sign up for free or whatever. And having Facebook crawler access also allows people to share stuff to Facebook and have it be able to read the membership content to provide a teaser. You can provide your own teaser. So you can take your same content, let's say it's a video, and you can make a transcription of it, which is really big for SEO. So you can, with a lot of membership sites, with Manbarium definitely, you can have, you know, members see the video, non-members see just the transcript or a portion of it, which obviously would help for SEO. You can also create smaller videos. So if you've got a video guy, and let's say you're making 10-minute videos or however long they are, you can take a 2-minute chunk out of that and put that out there for the search engine. So same page, same title, same description. And now you have a 2-minute video that, you know, goes 2 minutes in and then cuts to commercial. You know, you interrupt them and say, hey, we hope you're enjoying it. The rest of this video is only available for premium members or whatever, and here's how to sign up. And then, of course, those same 2-minute excerpts, you can go out and put them on YouTube. So people will spend so much time creating their course and they don't realize, hey, I could take a teaser or a commercial or whatever from almost every lesson of this and use that to draw people back in. And just a quick screenshot in that far bottom right corner, those are the two checkboxes for Google First Click Free or Facebook crawler access. And then if they hit something that they don't have access to when they come over, you give them a really easy offer, right? Get started for free. So it's kind of like a lead capture thing. So this e-learning, it can be used for lead magnets to create amazing memberships, internal training for your team. And that's something that I was going to come back to, is that with this idea of gamification and quizzes and stuff, I've encouraged a lot of companies now to make that internal training be part of the hiring process. You know, to even qualify for an interview, go take and pass our online exam for whatever, right? And if they don't do it, they're not the right person. If they can't pass it, they're not the right person. And it's just kind of a hoop to qualify people. And then, of course, training for your clients. Nice. I already went to questions. Sorry, go ahead. I was going to jump into the mistakes, but...
Let me pause here, if possible. So interesting, because this is a tricky thing. You know, when you go through the process of creating an online course, sometimes it's just like, just to put everything together and get it how you want it and record it and get it out there, that's like a ton of work in itself. And, you know, once you're done maybe with the first launch and things go well, then you're like, okay, ready to amp up and go to the next level. There's a lot of options for that. But, you know, sometimes sometimes if you want to do more outreach and market more, you know, it's like this conversation, this question, like, okay, now I need to go make new content. Now I have to like start making, you know, it's honestly, in my experience. It can be a little bit exhausting, like to have produced so much and then have to create new content. And I just love what you just shared about the idea of actually being to put out like a little bit of the content, or, you know, for instance, those videos where you've already created the video. So now you're just kind of creating a commercial that provides some value and leads them back to your membership site, back to your course. And that's really cool. And so I wanted to highlight that before we go on, because, you know, just for all of our course creators to put that in their back pocket when they need more, you know, thoughts or leads on marketing. And then that will go ahead and build their email list. Like you said, if they're clicking right to the link and it ends up as an opt-in to learn more. So very genius. I wanted to highlight that, but I will send it back to you about these big mistakes here.
Oh, thank you. And yeah, you're totally right. It's an insane amount of work to make a membership site. And once you've done it, it's like, man, get everything you can out of that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, jumping into it. And this really does break my heart. Like, I've had some clients who I just felt for so bad. The biggest mistake is starting a big giant membership site, and it's dumb. So even though we're covering all these best practices and you're probably going to hear a ton of other good ideas, you know, don't feel like you've got to start with all of that by any means. You know, please, you know, slow down. And one of the good ways to describe it, which is weird for me as a membership guy, right? I should tell you to start your site now and buy my software. But mm-hmm. I would think of a membership site as step 4 or 5. You know, if you have an idea for a membership site, go test the title, like whatever you think you're going to call that product or site, go mm-hmm. test that with some Facebook ads. You know, just write up 10 titles, put out some Facebook ads to something, and see which one gets the most clicks. Maybe make some free reports with those different titles. If you figure out, oh, this free report's working, do a free little mini series out of it and track the engagement of, okay, when they join and they watch video 1, do they come back and watch number 2 and 3 and so forth? So how hot is this topic really? And then what you can do is you can do a webinar about it, or even a webinar series. And then maybe a membership site, if all that works. And the reason I say this, I'll only point out one example, but there's been many. We have these really, really smart clients. They did high-end coaching for corporations of their executives and their, you know, executive staff and middle managers and stuff like that. And these are sharp, sharp people. And they wanted to kind of get out of corporate America and sell this type of thing to smaller businesses and to individual consumers who, you know, could brush up on their executive skills to improve their resume or whatever. And so they built this awesome site, had all these bells and whistles. They took probably 1.5 years and they could not sell it. So smart people, valuable content, but the disconnect, we kind of finally, you know, threw up our hands, and it was just like, you know, apparently when you go to sell this to a corporation or to an HR manager or somebody at a corporation, they dig it. But when you try to sell this to an individual, not as much, right? And so they wasted all this time and money and they just couldn't sell it. And they, you know, they tried to pivot and they tried to do different things ultimately after that. But that could have all been avoided with a little testing. I mean, they could have saved, I don't even know how much money, probably close to $100,000 in lost opportunity and costs and things in 1 year or so of their lives. And it's this couple, and it just, you know, knowing them personally, really trying to help them, it just kind of breaks my heart. So testing what you're doing before you go out and make a membership site is huge. And I'll share one personal story of mine. Last year about this time, I was going to revamp what's on my membership site now. And I thought, okay, what a friend gave me great advice of, well, instead of going and making it all, like, try it as a webinar series first. And so I decided, okay, I scheduled these 9 webinars. I had all the titles of the webinars and whatever. And I reached out to my list to try to sell it. Mm-hmm. Total crickets, not one response. And so I was like, oh, I missed the mark. I'm not going to do that. And I just bailed. So I didn't even do the webinar series because nobody signed up. And it saved me so much time and energy of doing something and building something that wasn't going to work. So that's, you know, one thing to avoid is going too big too fast. You can do some testing, you can get it right. And then when you make a course, you have, you know, pretty good chance of that surviving and working. Another thing for membership sites, this is something that you do want, is you want to create a powerful sales letter. A couple of years ago, I was going to launch my site, and this isn't a picture of me, but that's pretty much how I felt at the time, because I had tried 8 different offers. And I remember, because every single one I tried a written sales letter, a video sales letter, and all these things to sell my membership site, which I knew the membership site was good, but it just wasn't selling. And you know, after talking to a few friends, one of them mentioned this guy, Gary Bensavenga, and I don't know him or whatever, but if you want to look him up, reading some of his stuff and listening to some of his stuff totally turned that from, you know, no sales, complete disaster, you know, me frustrated out of my mind, to a six-figure launch within like 10 days. And wow. All I really learned was how to craft a hook for my sales letter. And then I made a short video with my face on it to engage people and talk about the membership site. And I gave them a bunch of payment options. And I know these are basics in sales, but I've experienced a lot of membership site people who are geniuses and really operationally sound, and they, you know, they're teachers and all this kind of stuff. And you can brush up on your sales skills. You can kind of go to the gym on sales skills, which is what I had to do and keep doing. But it totally changed that from a complete failure to a huge success, right? Just having the right hook and video and payment options.
Nice.
One of the things to go over with you guys is the biggest key to retaining your members when you make a sale is actually the onboarding process. Most membership sites pretty much look like this when you go in. You know, do you think you're adding value? Like, hey, here's the resources and here's the webinars and here's the course and community and all this crap. And they don't really know what to do, right? And so what you want to do is you want to have a one-time welcome video. And some people also, when you come in, you make them accept the terms and conditions or whatever, that's fine. But that welcome video should direct them on what to do and preferably have some sort of quick start where here's the number one thing you need to do first, or here's the top three things in order you need to do, right? Some other things you can do in the onboarding process that are kind of little psychological tricks is you can ask for their feedback early, meaning within the first few days. Hey, what do you think about the course and what would you like to see? And, you know, of course you're going to pick up some ideas from them, which is great, but they actually, by giving feedback, are more committed to your course. So because they feel like they have a personal, you know, stake or say in it, they're going to be more committed and they're going to get through it a little bit more. And then another really big thing you can do is get them to customize their experience. And what that looks like is, you know, obviously setting up their profile, but better yet, if you can have them, let's say, set three goals, like, hey, what are your three goals with X, whatever it is, if it's a weight loss site or, you know, martial arts or anything, have them put those in and then have that beep on their page somewhere in a widget or something that just says, hey, remember your three goals in taking this course are blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, they take a little extra ownership over that by doing that. So I'm going to talk about a couple other little ninja tricks here. Something called the endowed progress effect. And this is where if you imagine going and getting one of these freebie cards, this one comes with two stamps done. And the idea here is there's really only eight, and this card is different with 10 stamps and two automatically marked off than an eight stamp card. And it's because if you provide some type of artificial advancement toward a goal, a person will be more motivated to complete the goal. And there's two reasons for that. It reduces the amount of perceived work because they look at it and they think, oh, I'm 20% of the way there, only 80% to go instead of 100%, even though it's eight stamps either way. And there's also task tension in the mind because started tasks, things you start but don't finish or are not yet finished, are thought of more than those that aren't started. So a card with no stamps, you think, oh, I'll start later. A card with stamps, it's, you know, there's that task tension. You got to figure it out, finish it. And so when they go into your membership site, having a check mark for, you know, signed up for membership or registered or logged in for the first time, giving them a couple freebies seems like a very small thing, but kind of kicks them off in the process. And then, of course, if you give them a quick start telling them the next few things to do, you get them engaged early, and that's going to lead to higher engagement overall. So this credit system is kind of a funny thing. I'll kind of skip over it because it's a little technical to do. But one fun thing that you can do now with a couple platforms is you can multiply the value of a membership with parent-child access. Wow. And what it means is there's one account buyer and they can add sub-accounts under them. And the alternative, and people do this all the time, is they'll share their account, right? They'll just share their login with somebody and you can try to discourage that or whatever. But I'm actually talking about doing this on purpose, saying, you know, one of the benefits of this program is that you can add three or four sub-users under you, right? And it makes the value seem, you know, a multiple of it because you're really getting a few accounts. But it's great for B2B when you're saying, hey, I'm going to sell this to you, the marketing manager, but you can put your advertising person or whoever through portions of this course. And if you tie that back into the e-learning stuff, we, for example, have it to where when one of your sub-users goes and takes a quiz, you as the account owner get the results of that quiz. So in a business sense, you could say, hey, I invested in this course. I expect you guys to finish it in the next 2 weeks. And then you're getting that feedback. You're saying, okay, they're going through, they're taking the quizzes, they're passing or not. And, you know, this is a, you providing the course, you can sell this aspect of it to them, and then they receiving the value, they do get more value from it because they can keep their team accountable. They can have more people going through it. And when you think of the progress tracking that we're talking about, if they shared their login and password, it would totally screw up their progress tracking. But if they add sub users, then they can, you know, everyone's being tracked separately, which is kind of cool. And on the consumer side, it can be good for families or teams like sports teams and stuff like that. As I said before, membership sites are cool, but they do work best in combination, you know, with other products or services, or for example, in this case, live events. And there's a younger me doing an event, and events are cool because they establish credibility. There's something called a credibility shot, actually, where one of your camera angles should show, you know, the heads of the people in the audience looking forward at you. It's better than just you shooting content, you know, in your mom's basement kind of thing, which is cool too. But, you know, that credibility shot makes the content you put online seem better. And then even if you only have a little bit of live event footage mixed with other footage, still a big bonus. Live events are an easy way to create a lot of content fast because you just kind of puts on the pressure and you just have to go, right? You can get paid to create your content that way, either in tickets or members. And this is another thing. When selling a membership, including a live event or including a ticket to a live event as part of their yearly fee or whatever, can be really smart because depending on how you position it, people will see those live event tickets sometimes as worth $1,000 or $2,000 or whatever. So giving that as a bonus into the membership site can kind of, you know, change their perception of the pricing. And obviously too, at live events, you can get some user generated content from the Q&A in that. A couple tips on building a strong community. Most people get this wrong in a bunch of ways. They think, oh, I want a community on my site. You want to keep it simple. And the reason why is a lot of people will go in and they'll say, hey, I'm going to use all these community features. Members can share stuff and they can private message each other and they can join groups and start forums. And what usually happens is a bunch of those things don't get used as much as you'd like. And they look like little ghost towns, which makes the clients think, oh, no one's really engaging. I probably shouldn't engage either. So keeping it simple to just a few things helps a lot. And I'll tell you guys where you can go look at a really well-constructed community and site and stuff and walk through it all. But, you know, another kind of tip I got actually just recently, and it made so much sense when I talked to him, I was like, wow, I can't believe I've been missing this for all these years. So he started up his membership site and he immediately at the beginning sold a bunch of lifetime memberships to people for really cheap, right? So he's going to do like 37 a month, and he did like 37 lifetime for the first 100 people or something. And he's given away some money, of course, but what he did is he cemented in those lifers so that in the community, they're always going to be interacting. There's not going to be as much churn. So he gave himself a stable base to be in his community. And then another thing actually from a different client, but I think everyone can model the third one there, is when you launch your community, you want to plan constant updates from the top, meaning from the owner. I was talking to this gal who had built her husband's site, and I was looking, and they didn't have, you know, only a couple hundred members, but their community interaction was super high. And I was like, how did this, like, that's not normal. What's going on? And she said, oh, well, my husband, when we launched it, he committed to adding something to the community every day for the first 90 days. Short video, short quote, short snippet. So he really led by example of, hey, this is an active community. And people got into it. Since he was posting so much, they started posting, and he really started that trend. And then the communities held on and kept strong. So a couple little tips if you're going to do a community there. Finally, delivering something physical with your membership is, you know, very, very overlooked. Even though I'm a digital guy, definitely, and I don't even have paper, I don't even have a working printer and that kind of thing, I joined GKIC, Glazer Kennedy, and I've never been on their membership site, but I'll never, ever quit that membership. And it's because they send me in the mail a magazine, an interview transcript, and a swipe file, you know, in the physical old-timey mail. And every month I get that, it's, you know, I'm going to read a part of it, and it's going to be worth the $60 or whatever that I'm paying. I'm hooked for life, and I've never even been to their membership site. So, you know, you're going to hit a different segments, basically, through different modalities, whether it's the audio, because there's also a CD in there. I've never listened to one of the CDs, but I read all the interview transcripts, right?
Yeah.
So basically, guys, you're now, I hope, a membership site genius, and I hope that that helps. So thanks for your attention there, and thanks, Devin, for letting me go on and on.
It was awesome. Yeah, Micah, that was super cool. I mean, I'm sitting here learning new things as well, some of those ninja tricks. And I think it's great because it gives us a really well-rounded sense of what we could be doing with our membership sites and courses. So then we can pick and choose what's the thing that I need, what's the thing that my community will want. And or you could just do them all. So that's really cool. And you know, I one thing that I had, you know, there's a lot of questions we could ask about that content, but there was something that, going back to you're talking about sales pages, I was just curious because I get this a lot, you know, people who are selling something that is like a course and it's static and it's that you get this course and that's what's in it and you're selling that course versus selling like a membership where it's ongoing and new content. Do you have any recommendations for, you know, what the difference would be in terms of how you would frame a sales page or a sales video for a membership? Maybe like not knowing all the content that's going to be there in the future. Like how do you frame that if you had that situation before?
Yeah, I think you even mentioned, you know, there are people who have their courses and their memberships and they have them separate. And so when looking at the curriculum, if you're teaching something that's kind of a constant, right? Let's say that it's family psychology or whatever. And it's a field that, yeah, there are changes to it, but it's not changing as rapidly as technology, as an example. So if I was selling a course on something that's constant, then I would probably be a little more inclined to either do a one-time fee because it's like, hey, this is the content and I'm not going to be able to come up with new stuff 15 months from now. This is the content, right? I would maybe try to add value in another way. Like, hey, it comes with a consultation a month or whatever for a certain type of member. In an environment where the content is going to change, so again, technology, internet marketing, that kind of stuff, then doing something ongoing is a little bit easier because there's always going to be fresh stuff to talk about. So that's one consideration is what's the content, right? The subject matter. And, you know, aside from that, you can always dress it up. Like I said, even if it is something that's going to be, that's not going to change as much, then you have to try harder to dimensionalize it. Hey, but we have this support community. You get a call once a quarter with a certified whatever kind of thing. You can add components to it to make it worth the ongoing fee. Or, you know, it's perfectly okay to just say, you know what, this course is $9.97 and this is what it is. And it's that way for a reason, basically, right? And you can focus on making that course great, which is totally cool. Where I've seen people more and more be successful is to have a variety. And those of you who follow Ryan Dice, you know, he's got his concept of a tripwire, which is like a $7 one-time fee thing. And then from there, you might buy a higher-end product or you might buy a $35 a month thing. So a variety can work as well. And if I was selling something that doesn't change a lot, yeah, I'd have a high-end course that is the core curriculum. And then I'd probably have some kind of maintenance program or latest and greatest or community or something that's between, you know, $10 and $30 or $40 a month for the people who need that ongoing help. And you can have other levels of it too, especially if you actually provide consulting. All of this can feed into your consulting services. But, you know, yeah, you can play all the tricks you want, but ultimately I would look at subject matter and decide if it's going to change a lot or not. Does that help?
Yeah, yeah, totally. So yeah, just make sure that you have your subject, yeah, kind of know where you're coming from and your strategy, and that will inform what you put on the page. And or the video, I should say. So very cool. Well, it has been awesome, Micah. Thank you so much for sharing all this with us. We're at the point where we have to cruise to the next thing. But I have, I'd love to. Oh, by the way, I think your screen share is back up or on. If you want to take that off, or you can use it if you want to continue. It's up to you. But I just wanted to say, if there's anything, if you want to find out more about what you're sharing with us and get some cool stuff from Memberium, what would you recommend sending or recommend our Online Course Creation Summit participants to check out?
Yeah, so our site, memberium.com, it's memberium.com. You can always go to support there and reach out to us with questions and that. But I'll give Devin a link to a video that I mentioned earlier, where we went through with one of our clients who's been really successful at mixing a credit system, a community, you know, all these different concepts together into one site. And he's really open showing, hey, this is the back end of my site. These are the tools I use. Here's the front end and what it looks like to the customers. Here's why and how we did all these things. So I'll provide, you know, a link to that under here. Nice. Or you can come to our site and ask us questions.
That'd be great. Cool. So yeah, check out this link below here and get that training and check out what, you know, the behind the scenes if you want more. And yeah, with that, again, Micah, it's been a pleasure to have you at the Online Course Creation Summit. Thank you for sharing all of these things that you've learned over the years that make for successful membership sites and online courses. It's been awesome. Look forward to catching you down the road.
Thanks, Devin. Appreciate it.
All right, you guys. And for everyone who's joined us, we look forward to catching with the next episode of Online Course Creation Summit. And feel free to share this on social media or comment below if you have any thoughts or questions. We'll be checking that out later. All right, catch you on the next episode. Cheers.